This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Hi, I'm Kaz Mitchell, presenter of The Women's Zone on Joy 94.9, the show that features independent women's music. Have a listen in on an interview I had with the wonderful New Zealand singer-songwriter Anika Moa.
There it is. You're listening.
Hello, testing.
You're on The Women's Zone with me, Kaz Mitchell, and I have Anika Moa here in the studio, and you've just heard a track from her album, In Swings the Tide. Now, I was just saying off here, it was a bit of a weird coincidence because I happened to be in Auckland, your hometown, a couple of weeks ago, and I saw you on telly there, and then a week later I got an email asking if you could come in, which was serendipitous. Is that the word?
Precisely.
You are quite well known in New Zealand, though. You've made quite a name for yourself over there.
Yeah, I've released three albums over a period of 8 years, and I'm 28 now, and I've lived a pretty tumultuous musical life, and I've lived in New York and London and lots of New Zealand, and I'm finally, for my third album, stepping out of my comfort zone and actually starting again in Australia. So
you're not that well known here yet?
But I have been doing some shows lately, and I'm quite surprised to see the number of people coming to the shows because, you know, I just assume no one knows me. But living in Fitzroy, every second person's a Kiwi, so they're like, hey, Anika Moa, how's it going? I'm like, oh, wow, I'm really not that alone in this country. But I really, really like living in Melbourne, and I really enjoy this country, so hopefully I'll get to tour more of it in the future.
So what made you leave New Zealand? I mean, you wanted to broaden out, obviously, but what kind of a – was that a hard thing to do?
I'm a gypsy. I'll move wherever my heart goes, or if I just feel like moving, I'll just move. And my reasoning was, people say, oh, you should just go straight to London and make a career of yourself over there. But I feel that it's just so, there's so many people trying to make it in England that they're missing out, like New Zealand, then Australia. You know, like, Australia is a really big country, and it's and culturally, you know, I'm a Māori singer-songwriter, and I know that there's lots Indigenous people over here, and there's a lot of you know, educated, lovely people that love good music, and it doesn't matter what, you know, whether we come from New Zealand or not, you know, I will get a crowd here, you know. Because it's always the case of, oh, don't move to Australia. They all think, they all hate us. So, you know, rugby and cricket. And everyone thinks that you guys look down on us as your little cousins, but I don't think like that. I just think we're all just the same, and, you know, except for, I say, fish and chops. Sucks and stuff.
I love the accent.
Yeah.
I looked you up, and you're on Wikipedia.
Oh, that's so lies. Most of that's lies. I need to update it actually.
Yeah. It said in there that you spent some time in America but hated it. Is that true?
Yeah, when I was really young, I signed a deal with Atlantic Records, and I was 18, and I just didn't. I recorded my album in America, but that was my choice, and I released the album in New Zealand, and that was great. It was really successful. But I went back to America, and they said, "Oh, we're just going to so make you the next Jewel, and you're going to be so famous and rich." And blah, blah. I spent 2 months here, and it was the worst. I mean, it was amazing, and everyone was so kind to me and very happy, but it was so false and fake. And
did you feel under a lot of pressure?
Not at all. No, not at all. I wanted to be in New Zealand, just having babies and being, you know, chilled out and relaxed, and this big moving around the world and living in hotels and limousines. It's boring to me. It's just, it's the most boringest lifestyle I could ever think of. So I just moved back to New Zealand and just settled down and kind of gave the record deal up. And lots of people are like, oh, you're silly. That was a really bad career move. But I think it's the best thing I ever did.
Well, you've got to be happy within yourself, haven't you? You've got to feel like you're on your own journey and not someone else's.
Yeah, totally. And my idea of a perfect day isn't spending at 20,000 radio stations and nothing, and you know, and wearing tons of makeup and dressing up and, you know, expensive clothes. It's, you know, lying on the beach, having swims and playing my guitar and stuff. So.
You've had a career for 10 years, but presumably before then you've always been a music lover. What brought you to music?
My parents are both musicians, and they travelled all around New Zealand and took us, me and my five siblings, with them. And I was the one out of my mum's six kids that picked up music as a profession. But I actually, when I grew up, I wanted to play for the Black Ferns, which is the women's rugby team. And when I was 18, I had the chance to be in the squad because I played rugby all my life and hockey as well. But I unfortunately chose music, getting stoned and drunk and playing to like two people in bars to having a career in rugby. So I don't regret that because, you know, I'm really happy with my life and my career so far.
So is women's rugby, is that quite big?
It's really, really big in New Zealand, but, you know, they never play it on TV or anything like that because we're all women. So
it's kind of the same for most sports, isn't it? Or many sports anyway, unless you're a gymnast or...
Yeah, totally.
Or netball. Like that. Netball, yeah.
I'm Kaz Mitchell, and you're listening to an interview I had with Anika Moore in August 2008. And here she is talking about her album In Swings the Tide.
That song better than In Swings the Tide, yeah.
Okay, so what's that one about? to put you on the spot.
It's about someone that I fell in love with.
Okay.
The end, full stop. And I wrote a song about them.
Yeah, again, we're just sort of doing my homework over the internet. There's talk of the album being a bit of a breakup.
Yeah,
breakup album.
It most certainly is. Yeah.
And was that hard to write and then record?
Well, what happened is I broke up with my girlfriend in 2006, and we were together for 5 years, and then. You know, when you break up with someone, you just go inside yourself and you go crazy and loopy and get drunk and slut around
and write wonderful songs.
And write wonderful songs. So that's what I did. I spent a year writing, and then I saved up all my money and I recorded my whole album in my house, and I used all my friends, and, you know, it was really therapeutic because, you know, as a singer-songwriter, you tend to get your emotions and your feelings out via song. So that's what I did. But some of the songs, like about, you know, seven of the songs are about this horrible breakup that I had, which was, you know, very intense because it was my first love. And then the second half of it is about me meeting someone else. So it's like kind of yin and yang. And I started it very, very sad, and it ended up being a very uplifting and soulful, you know, like one of these albums that you put on and you feel really happy. And I really like that because I'm very happy now, and I'm very stable and less confused and less, you know, crazy.
Is it true for you, though, because I know it is for many artists in all different genres, that it's easier to create things when you're maybe in, not necessarily unhappy, but certainly in that state of flux when your life has changed and there's a lot of things going on that you're trying to work out?
Yeah, well, you've got to give your mind time to settle in, you know, like... I'm living my life right now, and I'm not writing at the moment because I'm living what I'm doing. And then as soon as I have a break in what I'm doing, you know, I'm doing lots of touring, lots of interviews, lots of shows. And then as soon as I have, you know, 6 months off, that's when the creative juices start coming, because you slow down and you just start writing and you start thinking and mulling and walking along the beach and, you know, being gay and stuff, and you just write what you've learned from your life of 2 years. So it's always a snapshot of who you were as a person in the last 2 years, I feel.
Sure.
Yeah, man.
Now, talking of feeling gay or being gay.
Who? Me? Who's gay? This is a gay radio station. Oh, my God. Oh, I've got to go, sorry. It's disgusting.
You did have at least one big interview that I know of where you did come out.
I did.
How did that impact your life and music? And is it something that you regret now?
It didn't impact at all. Everyone knew in the first place. I'm like, old news. I did it because I wanted to back up my album, and it was about my relationship with a woman. So it's like, it's pretty wrong if you were to release an album and to go, oh, well, I'm not telling you what it's about. It's, you know, everyone has their own interpretation of albums, but I'm completely and utterly, my heart's on the table anyway, so why not just tell the truth and, well, just tell people what they've already knew anyway. And when I did it, I did it with a reporter, well, with a writer that I trusted, and, you know, and I said, well, you know, I'm not really coming out because I'm not, I mean, I am a lesbian at the moment, but I tend to be, you know, let my heart follow me. So I fall in love with men and women, left, right and centre. So it's just a feeling of coming out in the sense of I am who I am and I love who I love. And right now I'm loving a woman, which is really fun. And, you know, and that's who I am, and this is my album. So there you go. Buy my album if you want to, and enjoy it, and enjoy what I went through. But yeah, it was really therapeutic, and my mum was, and my dad actually passed away 2 days after the article came out, so he was so proud of me. He was like, I'm so proud of you. And he's a full-on Christian too. He was like, damned it be thy lesbian, but he's like, I'm so proud of you. And my mum was too, so that's what's most important,
because you stood up for your convictions and who you
totally
are.
Yeah, you know, and plus, to, you know, I'm a woman, I'm brown, and I'm gay. It's like minority times three. So you've got to as a person, you've just got to get up and speak out and be proud about who you are.
Sure. I mean, that's really healthy, isn't it? It doesn't matter what you are or who you are. It's just really healthy to be yourself and not make a big deal about it, but just live it.
And And then you won't get stomach ulcers from living a lie the rest of your life.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Now, the tattoos on your arms, tell me about those, because they look amazing.
These tattoos are my Māori whakapapa, which is my family tree. I didn't swear. Mm. It's actually our Māori culture. And it starts on my right arm and goes right through to my left arm. But it's just basically my history from the moment I was born.
Is that something that's really important to you?
It is. It is very important to me. But I struggle with leaving my home country because of that. Because I feel so strongly connected to my land and my Māoridom that I come here and I see that, and I see the Aborigine culture, and it totally does my head in, because I just feel so sorry for them, you know, and I know what it's like to go through that, because we had it, but not as intense as they did. So it's a little bit of a struggle. So whenever I go back to New Zealand, I always get really, I'm really happy that I'm home. But I do love Australia. You've got a good Prime Minister. Yeah. If anyone's keen to hear some more stuff, just go to my MySpace page. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Excellent.
Yeah, cheers.
We've just had an SMS through, actually. Oh my God, Anika is fabulous. I saw her supporting Dido at the St. James in Auckland 2001, from Byron.
Cheers, mate.
You've got a fan out there.
Yay,
I'm sure
fan.
You've got lots of fans.
Buy my album.
Actually, I'm sure you'll have built a few more fans after
I
today.
I hope so.
I think so indeed.
And I'm not boring, that's for sure.
You certainly,
if you buy me
not
a Jägermeister shot, I'll totally get drunk on stage and be mean to you, probably. No, it'll be a good night.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks
for having me. I believe that when the new CD comes out, we'll be able to give one away to a lucky Joy.
Yeah, give one
member
away for half price. Just joking.
Thanks, Anika.
Thanks.
Lovely to meet you. And you're on the Women's Zone.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.